Following is a production of DallasCowboys.com and the Dallas Cowboys Football Club.
How about this, Cowboys?
Yeah! Go Cowboys!
Let's go, baby!
Are you ready for a break?
Yes.
Are you ready for a break?
Absolutely.
Ready for a break?
Yeah, and so much for that.
It's time for The Break on DallasCowboys.com.
We were on a break!
With Nick Eatman, Brian Broaddus, Ambar Garcia, and Derek Eagleton.
It is Thursday, May 25th, 2023, season 19, episode number 8. Welcome to the latest edition of The Break. We're live from SWBC Mortgage Studios at the Star. We're presented by Miller Lite, the only beer of the Dallas Cowboys. Today, we continue our off-season review. The conversation will be focused around the positions of linebacker and running back, and my hope is that today my co-host can stick to the script, and we'll focus on those
positions.
Why
are you even looking at me when you say that? Look at Brian.
I was literally looking around the room at each one of you.
No, you were staring at me.
I couldn't make eye contact.
That's exactly it. What I was trying to do, I was trying to get eye contact with everybody. No, everybody over here was looking down. Amber was the only one looking at me, so that's the only one who I got eye contact with.
It was your fault, really.
How was it my fault?
Because nobody – Dak's success doesn't have really anything to do with the linebackers. It does with the offensive line. So it's a flowing conversation to talk about
the offensive line. Here's the problem. If you say that, Dak's success also has something to do with the running backs, also has something to do with the wide receivers, also has something to do with the tight ends. So you really can't split it up and just
not
have...
Not linebacker, though. So.
No, but that was also a point. That was for a reason, because I knew that those other positions...
Like the quarterback of the defense is the linebacker?
Yeah, there was a method to it, Nick. There was a method to
it. I get it.
You just didn't get the memo.
I'm sorry.
You didn't read your email.
That kicking situation's a mess, isn't it, Nick?
Sure is.
Are we going to get to that at some point? I don't even know if we're going to get that position. You know what? Before we get to those positions, though, I do want to talk about OTAs. They started up this week. Today will be the first day that the media gets an opportunity to take a look. What will you guys be looking for? Is there anything that you look for OTAs?
Yeah, we got a mailbag question this morning, and I hope I posted it right. But Jalen Tolbert is the guy that I'm thinking. You know, he's saying all the right things this year. You know, this offseason, I want to get better. I know last year was not a good season at all. And so he's saying it right now is the time to show, the stuff in the Dak yard is working, and you are taking that next step. And so, and also, as I pointed out, too, it's hard to get an evaluation of practice with no pads. So the guys that catch it, the guys that throw it,
Man, you and I used to work together. We used to do that all the time.
Well, you can do it. And also, you also have the tape, so you can know the defensive tackles and where they're lined and all this stuff. But when you're standing on the side 150 yards away, you're like, did he catch it? Did he not? That pass looked terrible. You know, those are the things you could evaluate.
Well, and also a lot of the times you, as someone who's watching but not really in the rooms with the coaches or anything, you don't really know what exactly they're asking for each guy. So something might look off to us and we're like over here criticizing, but that might be what the coach asked him to do. So we don't, so it's just a tough time to really start analyzing and evaluating players from our perspective. But it will be good to see how those guys look all together as a team, seeing the rookies with the veterans and seeing them. The most you can watch, really, from my end, who's catching a pass? Who caught a pass? Okay, good. Oh, that guy ran fast. Those type of things, so we'll see.
Yeah, I took great pride, by the way, in making those practices sound like they were Super Bowl practices. We had a lot of fun.
Scouts notebook.
We had a lot of fun doing that.
Yeah.
I really, really did. I'm looking for where guys are going to line up. You know, you might not be able – you talk about you could see the passes and where they're going and maybe who's moving around well, who looks athletic, who looks quick. You maybe see different body types, like, oh, this guy looked different. I'm starting to hear things that Neville Gallimore's taking things a little bit more seriously now. And so body different, you know, people looking different. I'm like, oh, look, it looks like, well, let's go, got a little more bulk to him, you know. Oh, hey, well, you know, that, you know, Vaughn, he doesn't look as small as I thought he might look in person, you know, that kind of thing. So you could get the visual of how the players fit your eye. But you could also get an idea of, like, okay, wait, they're playing Fajoco, the tackle, or end at tackle. And, oh, wait, who's going at left guard with the number twos? So you could kind of get an idea of how this thing might ramp up when you get to Oxnard on the 25th of July.
You know, I was with you on all the other stuff except for the Deuce Vaughn. So I interviewed him right when the first day he got here. And, and I get it. I'm taller than most. But I'm interviewing him, and I'm thinking, all right. I mean, this gonna be all right. You know, yeah. He's not that short. I mean, he's okay, you know, yeah. Hellman-like. But, I mean, whatever, yeah. You know. And then he goes over here and does an interview with, I think, our social media team. And I kind of looked at his shoes. This guy's got, like, the Nike Air Max to the fullest. I mean, there's,
kind of
like,
pumped up.
It's like this much. I mean, it's probably,
walking
like,
on clouds.
He was up there. Like, I was like, okay, these are, like, heels.
Nike's. It's no worse than if you've watched videos of, like, Bryce Young with Carolina. Yeah. He looks like he is a middle school kid playing football. Yeah. And you're kind of like, man, he looked that bad. Must have been that crimson he was
must
wearing.
Be so smart.
That teal doesn't make him look too tall.
I mean, there's something about him. I mean, he must be like really.
Oh, he is.
Well, I mean, you watched him play. I mean, he can ball.
Well,
like, he's
Derek
good.
Could tell you, like, they lost a game just because of him. Because
everybody else was like not on their game.
Ducks
that day.
The sack, moves around. Oh, yeah.
It was 28-0 Alabama when I was there. I'm like, why did I pick this game? This is terrible. He gets hurt. And then it's 28-23, and I'm saying this guy should win the Heisman because this is how different
they
are.
He can ball, man. Yeah. You can say whatever you want about all of those tangibles and measurables and all that stuff.
And we play him. Can ball. We'll see them, right? Yeah. Carolina comes here. No, we go there.
We go there. Yeah.
I don't remember when that is in the season, but he'll probably be finding his groove as rookie quarterback.
I think it's after the bye or sometime after a couple weeks after the bye.
I think it's right before Thanksgiving. I think that's it.
One of the things that I think a lot of teams, and I'm talking about around the league, a lot of media people during this time of year, they go out to the OTAs, and one of the things they're looking for is who's not there. Mm-hmm. Because this is a time when these are voluntary workouts, and it's time sometimes that players take the opportunity to be able to flex their muscle a little bit on, I'm not so happy with my contract, or I want to see something different, and that's their way to be able to speak to the organization. Are there any of those types of things that you guys are maybe expecting to be coming up here with some guys that are going to be up for contracts here in the future, that this may be their opportunity to make those kinds of statements?
Yeah, I mean, this is when Darren Hambrick's name gets mentioned every year about what do voluntary mean?
Because I couldn't remember which Hambrick it was on
Darren,
the radio the other day.
It was Darren, yeah. But and it's because this is the reason why they call it voluntary, because he's not there. And then somebody's going to go ask the PR staff, and they're going to get kind of snarky about it, and they're going to say it's voluntary, you know, like he was here yesterday or that kind of stuff. It's not until the minicamp can you really find out, like for instance, I don't know this, but like Trayvon Diggs, he's not here, or CD or Micah Parsons or whoever. I'm not sure.
It's not voluntary once you get to that point.
Right. Yeah. I have seen some photographs, though. We take some photos and we throw some stuff out. I've seen some CD, and I think I've seen Micah Parsons. Mm-hmm. I haven't seen anybody else, though. I haven't seen any other cornerback. We'll see. We'll see what happens with Diggs. Diggs works out with his brother, did it all last year, too, and then he shows up on the days that he needs to be here.
That's actually becoming, a more common thing across the NFL. You see these guys that across the league will get together and work out, like guys from different teams, and they're working out in the offseason. They have their own special trainers that prepare them for the season. It seems like that's becoming more of a normal thing than teams always just working out just with their own team.
Yeah, I'll give you my reason why I think a guy like Micah Parsons was down in Austin working out. And nothing against the strength program here with the Cowboys, do a fine job. But when you work, Micah's probably looking for individual one-on-one training. You know, when you get the training staff here, you got, three, four coaches. There's a group of guys, maybe 30, 40 guys. You don't get the individual, hey, the power clean you're doing there is the right way. Hey, that's a really good hang clean you're doing there. Oh, hey, the bench press. You know, when you go on your own and do these things, you feel comfortable. It's not that they have anything against what's going on. It's a lot about being, specialized, teaching. And a lot of these guys do that just because they feel comfortable that they're getting that hands-on one-on-one that maybe they don't always get when you got a room full of guys and these strength coaches are having to work the room to make sure that everybody's getting the proper techniques and stuff.
You think Jerry's listening? Because if Jerry was listening to that, he'd be like, "Oh, Michael, you want a guy? I'll get you a guy."
Well, that's
but you can't do that for everyone.
Yeah, but I think
maybe good for
they
him.
Cut down on their coaching staff roster this year.
It was like 29 to 20.
Oh no! And you know, and trust me, one of the darkest days for Cowboys employees is when Jerry Jones was in the Hall of Fame and he flew over. We were all lined up out there, and I'm thinking, he goes, I pay all those people.
These are all in place.
We're all lined up 100 yards, two deep. And he's walking through going, okay. No, I'm just kidding there. But seriously, I mean, I'm kidding, but I'm thinking Jerry's flying in. He's going, wow, I pay all those people, yeah, huh? People.
You look at HR like, was this a good idea? Should we have shown him all the people that he pays?
I was standing next to Robert Blackwell, the video director at the time, and I'm like, man, this is a terrible idea. I go, whoever came up with this idea, maybe we need to rethink this a little bit, because Jerry's going to walk through us and go, half these people don't need to be here anymore.
All right, we appreciate you guys. We're going to take our first break. When we come back, we're going to jump right into our 2023 offseason review. We're going to talk about linebackers when we come back. Lots of interesting names and topics there. We'll do that when we come back. DallasCowboys.com radio.
Todd thought it would be secure to jog in the cheetah savannah. Todd believed the big cat repellent he bought online was reliable. And now, Todd is trying to be faster than this cheetah that can run 80 miles per hour. But the good news is, Todd has AT&T 5G that is fast, reliable, and secure. And he learned the best thing to do is stop running and toss her the backpack with the beef stew. AT&T 5G. Fast, reliable, secure. It's not complicated.
5G requires compatible plan and device. 5G may not be available in your area. See att.com/5G for you for details.
Hey, honey, can we talk?
Of course. What's up?
Well, I just thought you should know I've been curious about the new Dr. Pepper strawberries and cream.
Have you felt this way a long time?
No, I just think I'd really like the taste of Dr. Pepper swirled with layers of flavor.
If you feel that way, I think you should try it, babe.
It's amazing. I mean, you're amazing, too.
New Dr. Pepper Strawberries and Cream. The new flavor you deserve.
Want to use the Cowboys locker room's favorite products? Check out the official men's skincare brand of the Dallas Cowboys, Jack Black. Right now, you can get the Jack Black Playmaker, a curated collection of Cowboys locker room favorites for just $10 with free shipping. The Playmaker includes 4 Jack Black skincare favorites, plus a full-sized intense therapy lip balm. Go to getjackblack.com/cowboys and use the code word Cowboys. The Jack Black Playmaker, $10, free shipping.
Hey, Cowboys fans, ready to spice up your next watch party? Bring Yokiero guacamole and be the game day hero. Yokiero means I want, and we know you want great, fresh-tasting, ready-to-serve guacamole for your home-gating and tailgating events. Made with real avocados and the perfect blend of spices, it will be the star of any party. You can find us at your local Albertsons or Tom Thumb in the deli section. If you can't find it, talk to your store manager and tell them, Yokiero, Yokiero guacamole.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Back to the break.
Register now for 2023 Dallas Cowboys youth camps presented by Invisalign. Athletes ages 6 to 16 are invited to learn from the best this summer at AT&T Stadium or Ford Center. It's led by former NFL players. I'm trying to condense this down, guys. Sorry. You can use the code CAMPS23 to get $25 off registration. Visit DallasCowboys.com/CAMPS.
Welcome back. It is the second segment of the break. We are live from the SWBC Mortgage Studios at the Star, and this segment is presented by Blockchain.com. Let us talk about the linebacker position. Not a lot has changed about this position, but
I'd play Parsons at defensive end is what I would. No, I'm just kidding.
There we go.
Jump right in.
There we go.
Can go to the kiddie pool and you can go in, or you can just say right here in the
cannonball.
That overshown. He needs to play edge.
All right, here we go. That was going to be my second question, but we're going to jump right in since you brought it up. No, let's jump into that one. Is that the best idea? We honestly, I think a lot has been made about the whole idea that Micah Parsons is going to be, like, the report that he's supposedly going to be playing more defensive end. I'm like, he's a defensive end. If you've been watching the Cowboys play, he's not a linebacker anymore. But that's kind of the report, is that now he's going to be really devoted to being a defensive end. My question for you guys, is that the best move for the linebacker position of this team? Should he be more of a hybrid that does both, or do you think it's the right move for him to be more exclusively a defensive end?
I don't worry about him as much for what you're trying to say, because I think we know what he's going to do. The focus for me, and I'll take it back to the linebackers, is what's going to happen with Clark, what's going to happen with Cox, Harper, Overshown. You know, Isaiah Land is another guy that they really, really like, that they, you know, from the college free agency pool. So that to me is my focus. Wherever Micah Parsons plays, I'm going to be fine. I'm not going to worry about him as an edge. I'm not going to worry about him as a linebacker. I'm not going to worry about Van Der Esch. It's those others that I need to step up. That to me is where this group is either going to make or break with Clark, Cox, Overshown, Harper, Land, guys like that.
Yeah, for me, it's him just being flexible enough to play different positions and not get neutralized in the times where I felt like the Eagles kind of had a good read on him. He didn't have his best games there. The play, not play action, but the read options from the quarterbacks, those running quarterbacks.
Freeze him.
Yeah. And that's where I think that's got to be an issue there. There's some offenses that really key on him. And I think it's just important. So whatever he is, linebacker, defensive end, whatever, he's got to be able to flip sides. And when he does that, the guys that Brian's talking about, the other linebackers and the other defensive ends, have got to be able to be just as flexible as well.
Well, I think it's all about where are you the most effective. And I think that so far Micah has proven to be the most effective as just rushing the passer and working in that in the defensive line. But it does help to have that kind of flexibility, because you never know who's going to get injured, what linebacker is going to get injured. You never know at what time you do need to move a guy like him back to linebacker and just work that part of the field more. And also, depending on what kind of offenses are you facing for that specific week. So I think it'll help, but at the end of the day, it tells you a lot. And I know Dan Quinn came out and said, no, we're going to keep doing what we've been doing or whatever, but if Micah Parsons himself told you he's working on his weight and his body, I think that gives you a very, very clear and good indicator what he's going to be doing the most this year.
I was actually happy to hear him say that, just because I felt like as the season wore on, it felt like not knowing exactly what his body was like, but it did feel like watching him that he had a little less juice. Yeah. And it made me wonder if guys leaning on him at his size was starting to wear on him. And so I really want him. If you're going to be a defensive end, got to bulk him up, I think, a little bit. Don't want to take away his speed and his ability to get around that edge, but I do think he's going to have a little more weight if he's going to hold up for a career rather than just kind of be a flash as the season goes on.
You know, I kind of feel like, though, that his, as great as he is at defensive end, how much they use him at defensive end might be affected if all of a sudden Sam Williams and some of these true edges show up. All of a sudden it's like, man, we can't afford not to have Sam Williams on the field. We can't afford not. And Dorrance Armstrong had a nice kind of a little breakout year for him. But, you know, if some of these edges show up and all of a sudden they're rushing the passer and they've got to get them on the field. I mean, you talk about maybe some of the nickel is, you know, taking one of the one technique or that, you know, that defensive, that nose off the field, putting Tank inside, now putting another edge. You know, you got ways of mix and matching. But how much Micah Parsons maybe plays at edge might be directly affected by how good Sam Williams and others play when they get an opportunity.
I think if you go through every team in the league and you say, all right, who led your team in tackles for loss? I bet you no other team the guy played ranked 15th in snaps. So Sam Williams was 15th in overall defensive snaps, led the team in tackles for loss. that right there shows he's got to get on the field more. He's got to play. Now some of that's on him. It's not just, you can't just say to the coaches and say, well, what are they playing him? Yeah. He's got to figure out that he's in the right spot, because sometimes he plays in those fourth quarters when the Cowboys were winning. You saw some of those where just go rush the quarterback, go make plays, and he did, and he kind of poured it on some of those games.
There's two things that could affect Sam Williams going forward. Is that he has to play in better control of himself. He plays to the echo of the whistle at times. You know, there's some shots that he took that you're like going, oh, bro, you can't take that. You can't do that. But there also need to be some maturity factors too.
Yeah.
And I think that if Sam Williams can control those two things in his life, you're going to be talking about a guy that is going to be a big part of what this defense does this year.
All right, I'm going to move us back to linebacker. Let's talk about Damone Clark. Last year he was a guy that I don't think most, at the time he was drafted, most didn't think he would play last year. He was able to rehab from the surgery. He was able to get onto the field. And he had some moments where he at least showed you something that made you think, may have something with this guy. Where do you guys think he is right now at this point in his development, and what are you expecting from him this year as presumably the second linebacker behind LVE?
Well, I owe everybody an apology about him, because when he started playing, you watched him at LSU, and there was some rare ability with the size, ability to close, the run-hit factors and stuff like that. Here's a guy that was coming off some major back surgery. I didn't think he was going to play, but I know I talked him up because I'd seen him play a ton at LSU. And I love the fact that they were able to get, that's a guy, it's a second round. If he's not dealing with an injury, it's a second round linebacker right there. And they got him in the fifth. Super excited about him. I think that where he is, two things. Physically, he's better, much better. Mentally is the second thing. He is in a much better spot. Last year, he's thinking about, okay, I'm not having a lot of interaction with my teammates. I'm out here working with Britt Brown. I'm trying to figure all this stuff out. I think he's in a much better place mentally, and I think he's in a much better place physically. And I think that leads to a better path going into training camp for him this year.
I felt like he was a little bit – He was out there, which nobody expected that. He looked a little bit stiff. Why wouldn't you? If you had a neck and back surgery just a few months ago, you're going to be that way. I think he's going to play a lot with a lot more reckless abandon maybe about him. And you're right. I mean, I didn't watch every game that Damone Clark played, but he was the guy that you look at and you're like, I thought LSU was down this year, you know? And they're like, yeah, but they got that guy, that guy can get you two or three wins, and he probably did. I mean, he was so good. So his second, third year, I mean, I think the sky's the limit for him.
Can I say something real quick? The thing with Cox is the one Jabril. when you worry about Jabril, that's the one that I worry about, because I don't have a good read on him. I don't know where Jabril Cox is. When you start to talk about the two LSU guys, I have an idea where Clark is. I don't have a thought about what we're going to see from Jabril Cox. I really am not sure about that.
You know, when you look at the roster, and with Damone Clark, last year, I see what he did last year as just a head start. Like, it was just an extra bonus thing that he was able to get on the field the time that he did. This is going to be a big year for him, a big training camp for him to actually show where he's at. But looking at the roster, and I know we're specifically talking about linebacker, but I think there are so many names on the roster that you feel good about as far as expectations, talent, promises. But at the same time, it's scary because a lot of them, you haven't actually seen it happen on the field. But there's just so much young talent, good things being spoke about, good things that we're looking forward to watching. But you truly don't know just yet how each of them are going to turn out this year.
Brian, you mentioned Jabril Cox.
Yeah.
And here's my question. Going back to last season, what were you guys hearing and seeing that may explain why Jabril Cox wasn't taking that next step like I think a lot of people expected him to make.
I had a chance to talk to George Edwards. George Edwards and I worked together, really good friends. George is now the linebacker coach down in Tampa. And George was, I'm like, Jabril Cox. And he's like, listen, Brian, super talented kid. You know him from LSU. You know what he could do in coverage. You know how he can play and all that. And I said, well, what's holding him back? And he says, it just seems like with him, not seems like, it was a step forward, then two steps back. You know, he was never able to capitalize on opportunities that he got.
But was that a mental issue? Was that
there were things
a physical issue?
Yeah,
what
there
was
were
going
things
on?
There were things they were struggling with him picking some stuff up. You know, and these coaches are like that. When they feel like that you when they're coaching you and you're not seeing it in the way of like, okay, I'm taking advantage of, I'm making mistakes, the coaches won't put you on the field. They just won't. And that's the thing. George says he's a super talented kid. He says, but, you know, we work with him, and every time you feel like that he was going to advance, something would happen, you know. And maybe the injury part of it had something to do with it. But, you know, if you don't quite understand what the assignments are, as far as, okay, this is what we need you to do, they're not going to put you on the field.
And also, I love George Edwards as well, but, you know, he was probably the guy that they called on when they said, do we want to sign this Anthony Barr guy?
Yeah.
And he was like, we probably do. And Anthony Barr was a good player. I don't think the term progress stopper is always a bad thing, because anybody, I mean – Dak is a progress stopper to Cooper Rush and Will Greer, of course. I mean, that's just the way it goes. But I think in this particular case, you know, you feel more confident that Anthony Barr is going to kind of pick it up more than Jabril Cox. And so that kind of also set him back a little bit too. But now he's not here. But you're right. If Jabril Cox wasn't showing those signs that Brian was talking about, they wouldn't have signed Anthony Barr in the first place.
Yeah.
So question, Amber, I'll start with you. This linebacker group, is it better, worse, or the same as it was last year? And that's including everything. Obviously, they got a new coach. They've got some different parts from standpoint of maybe some of the depth at this position. Are they better, worse, or the same?
I think a little better than the same. I think it's a pretty solid group, but just there are a lot of unknown questions because we haven't actually seen it, but there is talent there that you can work with. I'm really, really excited about Overshawn, and I haven't seen much of him just yet, but just what I saw from like the rookie minicamp and just him, he looks good. Like, I'm excited to see. He's quick, and I think he can just bring a different spark to the linebacker position and what it's needed there. I feel pretty good about Leighton Vander Esch, which I didn't 2 years ago, but he showed last year what he can still do. So I think health-wise, he's okay. And just looking at the overall group, I do think there is talent to work with there. I wouldn't say they're worse than what they were last year.
I hope they find a spot for Overshawn. I hope they do. I hope this is not move around, play edge, play this, play that. Maybe, oh, wait, you could be that nickel sub linebacker. When I mean that, that's the dime packages, the nickel packages and stuff. It's very similar to what they do with Curse. My hope is for him to come in, immediately hit the ground running, much like when Michael Parsons was a rookie player here. They were throwing him into stuff. It was not too big. They were putting a lot of on the wagon. He was pulling the wagon, and he was just fine. I'm interested about Devin Harper because I think he can really, really, really run. And I think that he's one of those guys that if given the opportunity, we could see him make plays. I am intrigued by Isaiah Land. When I watched him play there at Florida A&M, this guy has got some ability to rush. He's got some ability. He's got mobility. He's got some bend. He's got some athletic ability to him as well. I'm interested to see how they use him. But overall, they need the guys like Cox, Overshawn, Harper, Land. They need two of those guys to step up and play. They really, really do. They don't need to be going backwards on that. If those guys can play special teams initially and then get in on some other stuff that they're doing, then this group will be a lot better than I think what we think about them right now.
Yeah, and another thing too about, you know, the linebacker's best friend is usually a defensive tackle right in the middle. And you drafted a Mazi Smith, and then, you know, Gallimore, and of course re-signing Hankins and Osa. Those guys right there, I think, are going to be better. And if that's the case, then I do think your linebackers are going to be better too. I mean, Mike Singletary, Ray Lewis, great middle linebackers. They had great defensive tackles in front of them too.
And they talked about that.
And so that's right there should help the linebackers. And I think the key is Clark. I think Clark, like Brian said, I think he is going to take that next leap. And if he can show that he was a second round pick, and that could be one of the biggest deals. It could be one of the best fifth rounds, because you got Deron Bland.
Bland is
him.
A good fifth rounder.
Well, let's
right now.
Go. Yeah. Yeah. You know, and Ridgeway was a good pick too. They probably left too early on him. But they just got into a roster situation with him. They liked him.
Houston or Ridgeway? Which one was
Washington.
That?
No, Washington.
Washington.
Yeah,
Washington.
And he's playing for them.
The player they switched out. Was it Washington they switched out to get him on the roster?
Or was it Houston? Yeah, probably.
It was a receiver. One of those receivers.
I was thinking the team he went to Washington.
No, he did. Yeah.
And you said Houston and Washington is like, I thought you were talking about the cities.
No, you're talking about the actual players. The actual players that the Cowboys.
We got a Houston and we got a Washington.
I should have thought better about that. But yeah, they it was one of those wide receivers they were trying to get on and that kind of thing.
I can't think of any other player in the history of the Cowboys like that. I'm sure there is.
Yeah.
Some. David Boston, he didn't
City
play
names.
Here.
All right, we're going to take our final break. We'll come back. Austin. We'll talk about the running back position. This is one that has a lot of intrigue. I think it's probably one of the positions that has the most questions going into 2023. We'll do that when we come back. DallasCowboys.com radio.
Todd thought it would be secure to jog in the cheetah savannah. Todd believed the big cat repellent he bought online was reliable. And now Todd is trying to be faster than this cheetah that can run 80 miles per hour. But the good news is Todd has AT&T 5G that is fast, reliable, and secure. And he learned the best thing to do is stop running and toss her the backpack with the beef stew. AT&T 5G. Fast, reliable, secure. It's not complicated.
5G requires compatible plan and device. 5G may not be available in your area. See att.com/5G for you for details.
Want to use the Cowboys locker room's favorite products? Check out the official men's skincare brand of the Dallas Cowboys, Jack Black. Right now, you can get the Jack Black Playmaker, a curated collection of Cowboys locker room favorites for just $10 with free shipping. The Playmaker includes 4 Jack Black skincare favorites, plus a full-sized intense therapy lip balm. Go to getjackblack.com/cowboys and use the code word Cowboys. The Jack Black Playmaker, $10, free shipping.
SeatGeek has your back no matter what kind of fan you are. So whether you're a diehard fan or a don't really care fan, a we got 'em next time fan or we'll never win again fan, a here for the tailgate fan or a first one through the gates fan, SeatGeek not only makes buying and selling tickets easier than ever before, they made just about everything else easier too. So whether you're a here every week fan or haven't been here in years fan, SeatGeek has you covered. Download the SeatGeek app today. SeatGeek, your ticket to great seats.
Hey, honey, can we talk?
Of course. What's up?
Well, I just thought you should know I've been curious about the new Dr. Pepper strawberries and cream.
Have you felt this way a long time?
No, I just think I'd really like the taste of Dr. Pepper swirled with layers of flavor.
If you feel that way, I think you should try it, babe.
It's amazing. I mean, you're amazing, too.
New Dr. Pepper Strawberries and Cream. The new flavor you deserve.
Back to the break.
Spanish soccer giants Real Madrid and FC Barcelona meet in Texas for the first time ever at AT&T Stadium as the leg of the 2023 Soccer Champions Tour. Don't miss your chance to see these storied rivals in action at AT&T Stadium on July 29, 2023. Tickets are on sale now at SeatGeek.com, the official ticketing provider of AT&T Stadium.
Welcome back. It is the final
Real
segment.
Madrid.
Good call on
that's
that.
That's what I always heard is Real Madrid. That's not what you said.
Real Madrid.
She said it right. Yeah.
No, she said it right. Let's just be clear.
She said it right.
She completely hit that ring.
That's why I handed it to her.
Perfect ring.
Real Madrid.
All right, let's talk about the running back position.
Real trouble saying that word.
Right.
Welcome back to the SWBC Mortgage Studios at the Star. We're on the break, and we're going through our 2023 offseason review. We talked about the linebacker position. Now we're going to talk about the running back position, and I think it has to start with Tony Pollard. It's interesting because he's going to be coming off surgery. What are the realistic expectations of him returning? Is this something you're expecting to see him in training camp? Is this something you may not expect to see him until the regular season? What are your thoughts on kind of where he is and when fans can expect him to be on the field?
I expect him to be ready for training camp the first day of training camp, and maybe even sooner than that out here. But if I don't think they'll be pushing it. But I think he'll be out here. I mean, it was broken leg, or I mean, broken fibula, tibia, but broken leg for the most part, and a high ankle sprain. I mean, those are things that you should be back from. So I think first day of training camp, I don't think there'll be that many limitations for him.
No, I don't. You know, and with Britt Brown and the job that they do with these guys, and the and how these players respond to working out and stuff like that, I don't anticipate any setbacks. But they're, like Nick's talking about, they've always been overly cautious about these injuries and stuff like that, you know, working guys back in. So I think with Tony that, you know, he'll be back in there when they're ready to go. I don't know how much he'll really play during training camp or these preseason games, the three games you have. But it'll give you a good opportunity. Ronald Jones, Rico Dowdle, Malik Davis, Deuce Vaughn, those guys all need the work. And you need to kind of figure out who's two and three out of this group. You know, and which one of these guys can help you potentially on special teams, the guys behind Tony Pollard there?
See, I don't really know how to feel about it because on one hand, the Cowboys gave him the tag for a reason. I mean, they wouldn't if they didn't feel pretty good about it. But at the same time, you got to remember when they gave Michael Gallup a contract. And last year, he wasn't able to really do much. So that is in the back of my head of like, okay, how good is he really going to be once he steps on the field? We don't know because of the injury. And on top of that, not that we didn't see it a couple of times last year when Zeke wasn't playing. We saw Pollard playing a full game at times. But I still don't know if he can do that week to week. We haven't seen that just yet. So, and I'm not saying he's not capable of, I think he is more than capable of, but there are still those kinds of doubts in the back of my mind as to how he's actually going to be able to perform this year.
How are you saying on the confidence factor of because Gallup was dealing with some struggles, he felt like he was ready, but he really wasn't ready. Are you saying more on that?
Well, he still mentioned that it hurt him. It was his knee?
His knee.
I remember he just said not too long ago that his knee was hurting him all last year. So I'm just saying, and you just don't really know. He can be out there trying, but how is that really translating on the game? Like, you can say you feel good and all that, but you know your body, you just don't ever really know until you're out there doing it.
To her point, they can't have Pollard be Michael Gallup. They can't.
No, absolutely.
They can't have that. They can't have that where, and really nothing against Michael, but if you're not confident that you could perform to your level, and I think Gallup is, hopefully he's put a lot of these things behind him, but if he goes out there and he's not confident, Pollard's not confident, then that was a big error on Dallas's part, giving him the franchise tag.
Well, it was clear. Mike McCarthy said, one of the things that he wants this offense to do, he wants them to rely on the run a little bit more. And so that means you're putting all the pressure on your running game at that point. And now that means by default, that's going on Tony Pollard. So they need him to be ready. They need him to be able to play at his optimal level. Which brings up the question, how much of a hole was left by releasing Zeke Elliott? Because I can tell from our conversation over last year, we felt like it was at a point where for the money, it wasn't really making sense for the Cowboys anymore, certainly for the amount of money he was making. But how much of a hole, when you talk about what he provided for this team, how much of a hole is left?
I think you're going to find out on 3rd and 1 up at the Meadowlands against the Giants, a really good team for week 1 of the season. You know, like who does that? Who performs that? And who takes – and maybe it's not 3rd and 1, it's 3rd and 2. Because 3rd and 1, 4th and 1 could be a Dak situation if they want to go that route. And I'm not saying Pollard can't do that, but that's what Zeke really provided. And so, you know, I thought he got knocked a lot for his average per carry being down. But that happens when you're the guy that's on 3rd and 1 and you're supposed to get 1 yard and you get it. That kills your average, but it also it extends the sticks. And so, yeah. You know, he was doing that really well. That was his job, and he was scoring touchdowns too. That's 12 touchdowns. That's hard to duplicate. So
I can't.
We'll see.
Yeah, I can't remember the game. It was a game that was at AT&T. It might have been the Houston game, but there was Washington maybe. I don't know, but there was a time where they tried to run Pollard on the goal line like 3 times. And they finally had to put Zeke in to get the touchdown, you know. And I can't remember what game. I know it was coming down towards us in the press box, but it just like they hand it to Pollard, nothing. Hand it to Pollard, mm-hmm. nothing. Hand it to Pollard, nothing. Finally, it's hand it to Zeke off left tackle, touchdown, you know. And I think those are the kinds of things. I'm not saying, you know, Pollard can be a tough runner. He's not a small guy. I mean, he's a little bit shorter guy, but he's physically fine. But I think there is some of that, too. You've got to figure out who is going to be that short yardage guy. And maybe you'll get better blocking, too, up front. Mm-hmm. Maybe you'll get a better guys like Schoonmaker and, you know, maybe Ferguson, Hendershot and those guys. Maybe you get a little bit better point of attack blocking. But I do remember that game, and I just can't remember who the Cowboys were playing that day. And I'm sure somebody will tag me on this and say, oh, it was this game. But I remember they took Pollard out of the game, put Zeke in the game, and scored the touchdown. Those are the kinds of things I think you might miss.
Yeah, probably unpopular opinion within the fanatic world, but I personally would feel better if Zeke was on the roster right now.
Why?
Just because I still saw value in him and what now. What does that amount like equate to?
As far as contract?
No. How you were splitting the? I think it worked out last year because again, Tony Pollard can't do what Zeke was doing, and Zeke can't do what Tony Pollard was doing. So to me, they were a pretty good combo. And again, money wise, it makes sense. I get it. I agree with it. But at the end of the day, talent wise, I think we're gonna miss Zeke.
I mean, I don't know how unpopular that really is. I think there are fans that kind of feel that way too, and think, well, just at a cheaper price. You know, they don't care about the money and all that.
Yeah, right.
But the tricky part is going to be with the amount of gadget players that you have and how many of them are going to get to go to the games. You know, just Turpin. He's going to be part of it if he's returning, you know, punts and kickoffs, even though that's maybe not even a thing anymore. But also, you know, Deuce Vaughn, and where does he factor into this? And so how many backup running backs that don't play special teams are you really going to have? And so I think that's going to be the key. But somebody has to replace that role on third.
Well, I'll ask this question. Go ahead. You take your...
I was just going to say, I was looking at everyone's weight because I was thinking, I'm like, who kind of has the same body type and stuff, and that's the one thing. Like Zeke was on here at 225 pounds, and then the next heavier guy, bulkier guy, is Rico Dowdle at 215.
Yeah.
So because it led me to think, I'm like, who's gonna be getting those hits, and how are their bodies gonna take those hits?
What's Malik Davis? I would have thought he was higher than that.
Yeah, 202.
And frankly, I thought
what?
I could be
Rico
wrong.
Rico Dowdle's 215, and Malik is
215. Unless it's, I don't know when was the last time we updated our stuff.
I thought Ronald Jones was bigger than that.
Ronald Jones.
He's listed at 208.
208, so he's around that same 210-ish. But here's and that's the question for me. I think of all the things you're looking at the running back position, the question really is, what can you get from Ronald Jones? I mean, he was a guy that last year, when he got to Kansas City, I think most people expected he might be the starter. And by the time they finished training camp, he had been relegated way down the depth chart to where he was not even – I mean, he got 17 carries last year. Yeah. And by the way, he's had throughout his career, he's pretty much consistently been a guy that's averaged more than 4 yards a carry.
Yeah.
So
he could be,
he's got some ability.
He could very well be the guy.
Right. He might be the guy that ends up being in that role.
We had this discussion about there's rumor that Dalvin Cook is going to be let go by the Vikings. You know, and Dalvin Cook, if you know Dalvin Cook's history, he's a guy, maybe he's on the way down, but I don't know if you can invest $2-3 million in Dalvin Cook, but it would be kind of interesting to have. I know Dalvin Cook, and you just go back and say, look at last year's games of who he played really well against. It was like really good against, he had 119 yards against Buffalo for 8.5 yards a carry. He had 72 yards and 11 carries against Dallas for 6.5 a carry. You know, to me, I don't think they would invest in Dalvin Cook. I mean, a combination of what you're talking about with Dalvin Cook, who can run and is tough and goal line player and catches the ball well, paired with Tony Pollard, I think would be a really, really good combination.
Problem is, he's on the Minnesota Vikings, and we can't touch him.
Oh.
But I will say this.
I knew that was coming.
I will say this. I do think, though, again, if
I didn't mean to. I'm sorry.
If you're looking at what this team can be next year with what they have, I do think Ronald Jones should be able to, maybe.
Yeah.
Fill that role of Zeke Elliott and give you the very least that role. And maybe a little bit more, but at the very least he should be able to do that, I would think.
Yeah. My apologies.
Well,
guys.
A lot of people say that though, June 1st, you know, Zeke's money, that $10.1 million will come back onto the books. And so, they could get anybody that gets cut on June, you know, for other teams. But also remember that they need that money to sign at least one of these guys.
Yeah.
Well, one of these digs.
When you say, one of those guys. Big money's coming down the line here.
Yeah.
My experience of working with you guys was always when you ask the cap guys, like, man, you got cap space. And they're like, no, we don't.
Yeah.
That money is already spent, Brian. Don't even act like you can spend it somewhere else.
I mean, you know, and when you really start thinking about it, you got the guys like Trayvon and CeeDee that you think about. You got Micah that you think about. What I think gets lost in that conversation sometimes is you still got a new deal you're trying to do with Dak. You're trying to extend him. So there's a lot of money for these players that you're about to spend. You really can't afford – that is a luxury. That would be a luxury to go and look at a running back type guy that could be released June 1st or whenever. Right? That's a luxury. That's not something that you certainly would spend a really significant amount of money on.
It depends how much are you really all in for this season.
Well, but the problem is you're always going to be – don't get me wrong. If a guy got released – I'm not going to say who it is, but if a guy got released
– not the guy
if you're
going about.
If you're going to give him a one-year deal and he's willing to take a one-year deal, absolutely. You got something to talk about there. But if you're talking a long-term deal, now you're talking about really eating it again into that money that you have to save for these other guys that you really want to retain.
They got something, too, they have to do with Dak. You know, that thing is – $58 million, you know, kind of a situation. I don't know. I threw 58, but it's over $50 million for a quarterback for a year. So
real quick before we end, give me your final take on running back. Are they better, worse, or the same as last year?
I think they're worse right now. Their superstar player is hurt, and we'll see when he comes back. I think he'll be fine, but he is hurt right now. And then they got 12 touchdowns and almost 1,000 yards in Zeke that they need to be replaced.
Worse. I would have addressed it during the draft myself, and I think they thought
more than Deuce.
Yeah, more than Deuce. Yeah, more than Deuce.
I mean, yeah, worse for sure.
Yeah, I think this is one of the positions that that will be the most discussed throughout the season because there are so many questions about it right now. And unless something changes, unless there is more added to it, I think there will be some questions about how well it does, especially because it's going to be something the offense is trying to do more of. All right, we appreciate you guys joining us. We'll be back next week. I'll figure out what positions we will go after, and we will get these guys focused, and we will talk about that. Until then, for Nick Eatman, Brian Broaddus, and Amber Garcia, I'm Derek Eagleton. This has been The Break live on DallasCowboys.com radio.
This has been a production of DallasCowboys.com and the Dallas Cowboys Football Club.
How about this, Cowboys?